We set? The August 14th afternoon version of the Portland City Council is now in session. Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Fritz? Fish?
Here.
Hales?
Carla, could you read the title for the next and only item?
Yes. 802, accept report of the 11 by 13 housing preservation campaign.
Commissioner Saltzman, take it away.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're here today to celebrate a major accomplishment, the preservation and revitalization of 11 buildings containing more than 700 units of affordable housing. These efforts begin in 2008 under the capable leadership of my colleague here on my left, Commissioner Nick Fish, who was then in charge of the Housing Bureau, and then Housing Director Will White, who is also with us today. With numerous public and private partners, including HUD, the State of Oregon, the Network for Affordable Housing, we have secured tremendous affordable housing assets for the next 60 years. And before I pass it over to Commissioner Fish, I would like to acknowledge and to thank him for his championship on the 11 by 13 preservation program, the campaign. Nick, your legacy as housing commissioner will live on with the people and the families who will have secure and affordable housing for more than half a century, thanks to you. I'm pleased to hand it over to you.
Wow. Thank you very much, Dan. Thank you for that very gracious introduction, and welcome, friends and colleagues, to this wonderful occasion. For the last 5 years, I had the privilege of leading the new Portland Housing Bureau. In June, you may have heard, Mayor Hales gave me a new set of assignments. And I passed the baton to Dan Saltzman. It has been a remarkable 5 years, marked by a number of significant wins we achieved together as a community. Today, we celebrate the successful preservation of more than 700 affordable apartments, homes mostly to older adults and the disabled, in 11 formerly at-risk buildings. Now, as we all know, and as Susan will remind us later, Portland has a significant shortage of homes affordable to low-income families and adults. And one of the Portland Housing Bureau's top priorities is building new affordable homes and preserving existing affordable homes. In 2007, before I had the honor of joining this body, the city worked with Harold Schnitzer, Harsh Investment, and Cedars-Sinai Park to preserve 235 homes at Clay Tower near PSU. Once at risk of becoming a boutique hotel or an expensive condominiums, Rose Schnitzer Tower, as it is now known, is a shining example of the power of innovative public-private partnerships to address our housing crisis. In one of my first meetings with former Housing Director Will White in 2008, he briefed me on a looming threat to our existing supply of affordable homes. Federal subsidies in 11 privately owned Portland buildings were set to expire between 2008 and 2013. And once those Section 8 contracts expired, the owners could opt out of the program, and then they could sell the building, raise the rents, or frankly, do whatever they wanted. Over 700 low-income older adults and people with disabilities face the prospect of higher rents, displacement, even homelessness. And the city risked losing more than $120 million in federal subsidies over the next 20 years. In response, we launched the 11 by 13 campaign to preserve all of those buildings. Three consecutive housing directors led this charge: Will White, Margaret Van Vliet, Tracy Manning. That's a heck of an honor roll. The goal was ambitious: work with local partners to save all 11 buildings by 2013. And frankly, the odds were against us. but hundreds of vulnerable people deserved our best shot. It took a big team of public and private partners and a lot of hard work, and today we get to celebrate. Dan and I have asked three panels to come before council today and share their story. And we'll hear from the many unsung heroes who made this day possible. First up are two of our champions from the public sector. Portland Housing Bureau Director Tracy Manning, where do I know that name? Who brought this effort home, and Mary McBride, a passionate housing leader, the director of Region 10 for HUD, and most importantly, an extraordinary partner. Would you please both come forward? And welcome.
Thank you, commissioners. So I got lucky today. Today is our day to celebrate partnerships, and some of our great partners are in the room. Commissioners asked me to take a moment to recognize some of them. We won't get to all of them in one breath, but we'll get to more later. So I'd love, as I read the names of some of our local partners who made this effort happen, if they would stand. I know there's a few staff members here in the room. From Reach Community Development. Excellent, thank you. Northwest Housing Alternatives. Mm-hmm. Cedar Sinai Park. Union Labor Retirement Association. Guardian Management. Winkler Development Corporation. And Harsh Investment Properties. So these are some of the really effective organizations that provide homes in our community for vulnerable people.
Tracy, let me just add to that list if I could.
Please do.
We also have some of our outstanding leaders and supporters in different legislative bodies. State Representative Jules Bailey is here. Jules, take a bow, please. Thank you for your great work. State Senator Ginny Burdick. Stephanie Phillips from Congressman Blumenauer's office, and Brian Plinsky from Congresswoman Bonamici's office. Let's give them a round of applause and our heartfelt thank you.
So a few words about some of our development partners that are here today and played a major role in the initiative. Northwest Housing Alternatives is an organization that works statewide, and so that some places where there wouldn't otherwise be a nonprofit provider has affordable homes. Cedar Sinai Park is piloting an innovative model that leverages public and private money, including healthcare dollars, so that very low-income seniors can age in place. Reach CDC is one of our community's largest and most experienced community development corporations, and they're headquartered at the beautiful Gray's Landing Building, which brought the first affordable homes to South Waterfront. All of us at PHB are honored to work with the people that are doing this much good and are strong, well-managed organizations that were able to respond quickly in this crisis. Because 5 years ago, when the need to preserve these buildings was identified, you'll recall that we had a real estate market that was moving at breakneck speed, with buildings being sold and rentals being converted into condos seemingly overnight. Had we not worked with our partners to preserve all 11 buildings, the residents, more than 700 people could have been swept up in the tide of market forces. These are our city's most vulnerable people, seniors, and people with disabilities with very low incomes. But our community, one that partners to create a powerful movement, preserved the affordability of these homes for 60 years. And we did that efficiently. We leveraged substantial private, state, and federal dollars. For every dollar the city invested, we leveraged $4 in private investment and $5 in federal funds. Specifically, the city invested $22 million in community development block grant, Section 108 loans, and urban renewal dollars. That leveraged $110 million in private investment and more than $120 million in federal assistance over the next 20 years. To hear more about that, I'll turn it back to Commissioner Fish.
You are? Oh, did you?
Yeah, and then you
Well, before I introduce Mary,
that's what it says right here.
I want to thank Kevin Pazzi. Is that correct? From Congressman Blumenauer's office. Kevin, where are you? If you'll stand, please. Also, I understand that to support our good friend Will White, we have some additional staff people from Senator Merkley's office. Would you please stand so we can recognize you? Wow.
Oh, wow.
Got the A-team.
Got the whole office.
And if any of you here have a constituent concern, we'll be meeting. The district director is here, and she'll be happy to take your name and number. We're going to be thanking some other people later, but let's get everybody identified. We have a number of key staff people from the Portland Housing Bureau, and they are some of the best and finest and hardest working public servants in our community. With the Portland Housing Bureau team, please stand. We also have great partners from Home Forward. Steve Rudman and some members of his team are here. Would you please stand? And we, of course, cannot be successful without great leadership and partners at the county. If you're here from the county, would you please? Okay. Well, it's now my honor to introduce Mary McBride. In the way that HUD is organized by regions, Mary is the top of the food chain in our region, which means she's the boss of Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Idaho.
That's it.
And that's it. She has aspirations, of course, for more territory.
Exactly.
But for now,
looking at Montana. It's
Mary and her wonderful team, who she'll acknowledge in a moment, have been with us every step of the way. And we're so fortunate, not only here in Portland, but in Seattle, to work with a great team from HUD. And Mary, you honor us today with your presence. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Commissioner Salzman, you're stepping into some wonderful shoes, and look forward to working with you in the same way we have with our good friend and colleague, Commissioner Fish. Before I get started, I want to take just a moment to recognize members of the HUD team who've worked on this initiative. Not everyone whose fingerprints are part of this are here today, but I want to take a moment. If the HUD team would stand up. You know, we've always looked to Portland and certainly the surrounding area as a place where new ideas flourish and where the bar is never high enough. It's a place that challenges yourselves to stretch and look beyond the status quo. A lot of jurisdictions may have been tempted when faced with the challenge that you were faced in terms of properties who were aging out, may have said, that's a really big problem, and hopefully someone will take care of it. But in the true sense of leadership, people stepped up with a vision, a bold vision, an 11 by 13 vision. Not to do it by yourself, but in fact to look at how to mobilize partners, how to bring the right people to the table. When we talk about preservation, it is such a critical piece of the continuum of housing, particularly in terms of affordable housing. And yet, in many aspects, preservation is one of the most difficult. It's also one of the pieces where being the only player at the table won't work. Partnerships are an essential part of ensuring that properties are preserved for decades to come. But when we talk about preservation, it's also about more than just bricks and mortar, more than just a building. When we talk about the efforts that have gone on here, it's really about the people who call those facilities home. It's also about community and ensuring that properties are preserved, not just for today, but frankly, for those who are yet to come. You know, when we talk about what took place with this initiative, it took a lot of not just people at the table thinking out of the box, but it really took the courage and the leadership to have actions outside the box, to move them forward, to mix and match, to push the envelope. And I am really proud of the partners here, including the role that HUD played. You know, oftentimes when you think about a federal department, it's easy to say, particularly in this day and age, that federal government can be part of the problem. And in this community, in this state, in this region, it brings me great pleasure to say that not only are we at the table, but we're part of the solution. And in this case, bringing not only our traditional players and our traditional resources, but bringing other types of funds, other types of flexibilities to make this work. And at the end of the day, I can say with great pride that this is the right role of government, supporting local priorities, leveling the playing field, and being accessible and flexible when we need to be. Commissioners, I look forward to the next initiative that raises the bar higher and being a partner with you. You saw the folks who stood up here representing our HUD office. They are among the best of the best and are eager to walk the next part of the journey with you here in Portland. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mary. Next, our second panel. We'll hear from two key partners from the nonprofit sector and a very special guest. Rob Prash with the Network for Oregon Affordable Housing, or NOAA, was part of this team from the very beginning. I believe that we would not have been successful without the innovative, collaborative approach that he and Bill Van Vliet brought to this effort from the beginning. Also joining us is David Fuchs with Cedars-Sinai Park. In all, they helped us preserve more than 500 affordable homes and protect over $100 million in federal subsidy over the next 20 years. And third, we invite up my friend Bill Gentile. Bill is the incoming chair of Elders in Action, and most important for today, a resident of Uptown Tower. Welcome, gentlemen. Rob?
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. I just want to start today by recognizing Commissioner Fish for his dedication to affordable housing and for his efforts to protect Portland's safety net programs. Those have been critical. And under Commissioner Fish's leadership, preservation has been one of the city's highest priorities. And as you look around the room, many people here contributed to the success we're celebrating today. I want what some people may not really know is that the foundation for this success was set way back in 2007 when a group of housing advocates, property owners, charitable foundations, and government agencies all came together to address the very real possibility that Portland might lose some of these 11 incredibly important buildings. People like Will White, who you'll hear from shortly, Doug Stamm of Meyer Memorial Trust, and many other community leaders worked together to develop the strategies that were used successfully to preserve these affordable Portland homes. So the success we're celebrating here today wasn't because of good timing or good luck, but it was a result of good public policy and the joint efforts of many of the folks here today. So congratulations to everybody involved in this great accomplishment, but let's not forget the need for affordable housing in our community is greater than ever. And let me just finish by saying, as Commissioner Salzman assumes the responsibility for guiding Portland's housing agenda, as Mary said just a minute ago, the bar's been set high, but I think we can expect to see many great accomplishments in the years to come. Thanks.
Thank you, Robin. Every time someone says the word residual receipts, somehow I have a mental image of you.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
I want to,
but it's a lot of money.
Thank you. David?
Commissioners, my name's David Fuchs. I'm CEO of Cedars-Sinai Park. It's an honor to be here to thank you for the work that the city has done in providing the leadership to make this 11 by 13 dream happen. In the Talmud, we praise the man who plants a tree that will bloom in 60 years beyond his own lifetime, recognizing that he received the fruit of the trees sown by others before him. Our city has done that for the community in a significant way. The vision and the willingness to do that was initiated by you, and we are so grateful. I want to express gratitude also to so many of the people who provided the leadership and the energy that made it possible for Cedars-Sinai Park to step forward into this new role as an organization, particularly Jim Winkler, who is in the room, but also Harold and Arlene Schnitzer and Jordan Schnitzer from Harsh, who all made a significant difference. You know, the buildings we bought are beautiful, and they could have easily have been turned into condominiums and have been assets of another sort in downtown. The vision to preserve these buildings as affordable housing and to renovate them and to make them beautiful and make them sound for the next 60 years is something that we take great pleasure in and great pride in. I am astounded by the creativity that it took to put these transactions together. The variety of funds, the leveraging that you talked about earlier, it was a remarkable combination of resources and energy and extremely bright minds. You know, just to have received the opportunity to pay the tuition to be in the room with so many great people was well worth it from my perspective. So I want to express gratitude to all of those, the banking sector, the housing department, the city, the state, and the federal government all played significant roles in being able to make these projects happen, and it was a remarkable experience. Commissioner, I'm a kid from Detroit, Michigan, and I spent my youth there. And I'm sad to say it's not the city that I grew up in anymore. I've lived in Portland for almost 40 years. When I go to my hometown, I'm filled with a combination of nostalgia and sadness because of the failure of what good governance was about. I'm so proud that for the last 40 years I've lived in a city that takes governance seriously, that makes an investment in its communities, and has the vision to preserve its assets and do the stewardship that's necessary to make things work. I thank you for that leadership.
Thank you very much. We wanted to honor one of the residents, and I know there are a number of people here today who joined us who are residents, and Bill wears many hats, and from the leadership of Elders in Action to fighting for affordable housing to being an inveterate blogger to being a really great guy, and we're grateful that you're here today, Bill.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good afternoon, Commissioners, and thank you very much for inviting me to speak here today. I was aware of an enormous amount of partnerships that went into this project, but until all of the people were introduced, I really didn't have a handle on how many were actually involved. And so I want to thank them as well for their contribution to this project. As a resident of one of those preserved buildings, I appreciate the opportunity to live in a comfortable, safe location that has easy access to transportation and allows me to participate in this community. Not only just doing volunteer work, but just going to the park and watching the kids run in the fountain, which is one of my fun things to do. walking to the, they have three farmers markets here in the city, which offer an opportunity for shopping for fresh fruits and vegetables. And the social and cultural aspect of the city as well that has been so generous in giving discounts to seniors and people with disabilities. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to live in one of these buildings that so many people have worked hard to make available. And I could probably spend the rest of the day explaining it, but I understand we're time limited, so I'll end it there. And again, my deep thanks to all of you for your work in making an affordable housing available.
And thank you for highlighting the values around making sure people have choices of where they live. When I have out-of-town guests, I make a point of taking them to Director Park and standing on one corner of Director Park and explaining to them that 60% of the cost of that park was borne by the private sector, by people like the Schnitzer family who made it possible. And then I point to the Admiral, which is on the corner of the park, and I say, and this is a home to some folks in our community who have experienced the most barriers and have the least resources to afford where they can live. And I'm proud to live in a city that places an affordable home next to a new park so that the folks who live there can enjoy the same quality of life that we all do. And I think that's at the heart of the value system behind 11 by 13. So, Bill, thank you. And I want to just acknowledge that the mayor's joined us.
Oh, afternoon, Mayor.
Mayor, we have one more panel. And thank you, gentlemen. We have two more special guests to recognize and to honor today. The first is Will White. Now, Will is our secret weapon in Washington, D.C., where he advises Oregon's junior senator, Jeff Merkley, on all things housing. And I can tell you from personal experience, there were some bumps in the road in this process that no one but Will could figure out. And without his leadership, it would not have happened. As the former director of what was once called the Bureau of Housing and Community Development, Will literally shaped our preservation agenda. And he's joined by Susan Emmons. Susan, as we all know, is a tireless advocate for low-income older adults and a champion for affordable housing downtown. Will, welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mayor Hales and the rest of the commissioners, it's great to be back here in front of City Council where I haven't been in some time, being back on the East Coast. But how appropriate to celebrate the success of the 11 by 16 campaign that when it was launched in 2008, few would have bet that we could have achieved a 100% success at the rather audacious goals that were set. And I think others in the broad team that worked on this have already covered most of the points, so I'm not going to go over those once again, but just a couple broader lessons that occur to me. One is that sometimes people say, well, should the private sector take care of this problem, or should government take care of this problem? And each has its own advocates that think one avenue or the other is really the right one. It was clear to me that in this case, neither one alone was going to be able to do the job. And that's what brought together this coalition of different organizations and smart individuals, committed people that you have heard from and heard about today. Because neither sector, neither the nonprofit or the for-profit sector or government could have done it on its own. The other is that often you hear these days a kind of a pessimistic, well, government doesn't work anymore, or government's the problem rather than the solution. But when I look at this one, it was a very seamless collaboration of the local government, the state government, and the federal government agreeing on goals that they wanted to support with the resources they could uniquely bring together. And with any one of those partners having stood back from the table, we could not have succeeded. And then finally, just an acknowledgement about the importance of learning from history, because I go back to when I first came to Portland, and many of you will remember, and certainly Susan, first and foremost, the tragic failure to be able to save the Roosevelt when we had an affordable property that was so valuable as a redevelopment opportunity, and the public sector couldn't step forward and maintain it. And those folks got turned out, and it was a lot of work to find places to house them again. And we learned from that lesson when this kind of a threat came up again. We said, we're not going to go down that path. We're going to be proactive. We're going to get together all the people that will be committed to this from all these sectors I've just talked about. And together, let's hope we can save at least a majority of these buildings. And it's a delight to me that we were able to preserve them all. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Susan Emmons to talk a little bit more about the people that benefited from that.
Thank you. I'm Susan Emmons. I'm the director of Northwest Pilot Project, and I've been in my job for 28 years. And many of the people in this room, well, I have to say I'm thrilled to be here today. This is really cause for celebration. I think in the limited time we have, it hasn't been possible to talk about the mind-boggling complexity of the financing to make this happen. But I think what stands out is when you have a vision and you have a goal, you can do it. I think that many people in this room know we've been keeping an inventory since 1994 to track the loss of housing in the center of the city, sometimes conversion to another use. But we are 1,893 units short of the goal the city set. And imagine how much worse that would be if we hadn't been able to preserve these buildings. There's a wonderful story about a delegation of citizens who came to see Franklin Roosevelt on some reform or another. And when they were finished, the president said, okay, you convinced me, now go on out and bring pressure on me. And I love that story, but I think the other side of that equation is you have to have responsive public officials. You can be great advocates. You can get everyone together. And I think what sets Portland apart is that we have people in the public sector, you, who respond. We go and put pressure on you, and you say, okay, let's get this done. And we work together in partnership. So I think it's important to say we haven't solved our housing problem, but preservation means we have fewer people who've lost their. This is the other equation to how we're going to end homelessness, is that we're preserving housing. We're keeping homes for people. And I won't say any more because we don't have time, but it's just impossible to capture in a few minutes what this effort has meant to the people who live in these apartment buildings. Every one of these buildings is precious to us, and we just thank you. We thank you for this effort. I mean, Portland knows how to do it, and Portland knows how to partner, and we are the model, and there are going to be more opportunities.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you very much. I'm going to make a couple of closing remarks, turn it over to my colleague and friend, Dan Saltzman, then we have a little ceremony. What a year this has been. 2013. We made history in the legislature when Speaker Kotek's Section 8 reform bill finally made its way through the legislature with the support of the governor. And we will now be one of the few states in the nation that does not allow discrimination against voucher holders. And earlier in the spring, we celebrated another remarkable community-wide accomplishment, Operation 305. Where we took a program, the VASH voucher program, which frankly doesn't work as well as it should, and with the help of partners in the private and public, nonprofit and faith community, we got all 305 vouchers utilized. Remarkable accomplishments. You could call it a year right off just from that. But today we get to celebrate the completion of 11 by 13. And I was so honored to be a part of this effort over the last 5 years. Yes, the numbers are amazing, and if you add Rose Schnitzer Manor, which in fact inspired this campaign, it's a total of $23 million of city investment, leveraging over $100 million in private investment, which preserved over 1,000 affordable apartments and protected nearly $165 million in federal subsidies. It just doesn't get any better than that. Well, yes, it does. Because more than that, we protected the homes of some of our community's most vulnerable residents. Older adults and people with disabilities in our community should never be treated like second-class citizens. They should have the same choice of where to live that everyone in this room enjoys, and they should be as proud as we are in where they live. I want to close by offering my special thanks to Commissioner Dan Saltzman, Shannon Callahan, and his crack team for helping to organize this event. It was enormously gracious of him to do so, and he has my full support as he goes forward in his leadership role. I want to thank my team, Sonia Schmansky, and everybody in my office for working tirelessly. I want to do a special shout out for Jamie Cuddy. Jamie, would you stand? Jamie did a lot of the heavy lifting, and I think she Jamie got me to do something I never thought I would do, which is she got me to figure out how to use my smartphone. And I downloaded an app, which probably most of you have, and I have put the app next to the barcode on the storyboards downstairs, and she has produced videos and oral histories of every single of a tenant from every building in the 11 by 13. So, Jamie, thank you for telling their story and for reminding us that this is about the people we serve and not just the bricks and mortar. I'd also like to acknowledge all of Jamie's colleagues at the Portland Housing Bureau, from our distinguished director and all of the staff members that are here today. You make all of us up here proud to call you colleagues. And I'd also like to specially acknowledge outgoing Deputy Director Jacob Fox, who is relocating to Eugene and whose hard work was essential to making the stars align in these complicated deals. Jacob, would you stand and accept our congratulations? It has been an absolute honor to be a foot soldier in this movement. I'm proud of what we accomplished together, and I continue to be inspired by a vision that we all share, one in which everyone in our community someday has a safe and decent place to call home. Thank you all. Dan?
Well, thank you again, Commissioner Fish, for your outstanding leadership on this 11 by 13 and on your outstanding leadership of the Housing Bureau over the last 5 years. And while we celebrate the accomplishment of 11 by 13 today, there was some comments about raising the bar, and while I don't want to take total credit yet for raising the bar because this rightly belongs in Home Forward's plate, they are undertaking an enormous effort that is going to raise the bar here, and that is to undertake a preservation effort of similar magnitude to, in their case, involves 10 high-rise buildings that provide 1,200 homes for seniors and those on disabilities. And this is an undertaking of enormous magnitude, as I said, renovation, preservation of these structures that have served us well for a long time, but many of them are showing their age. So this is going to be a great effort, too. And like 1113, it's going to be a big effort, tremendous capital needs, and it's going to be in the neighborhood of $80 million. So I know that's going to be something that we will be looking forward to working with Home Forward. And I know HUD will be right there with us, as will probably many of the other partners that Commissioner Fish outlined in today's announcements. So, again, thank you for your leadership, Nick.
So I think before we wrap up, Dan and I have a special gift for Will. We have a bound volume with the stories and the history of all 11 projects, which is a special edition bound volume, and Dan and I would like to present this to you, Will, with our sincere thanks for your remarkable leadership in this endeavor. Mr. Saltzman, Mayor Hales, that I think concludes the formal presentation.
And are we going to
We have public testimony still.
I'm sorry?
Public testimony.
Oh, public testimony.
Okay.
We have two. Is there anyone else signed up to speak besides the panels that we've already had?
Yes, we have two people, Lightning and Crystal Ilinski.
Okay, come on up, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Lightning. This 11 by 13 is absolutely a success. And again, I'd like to commend Cedars-Sinai, Mr. Winkler, and of course the Snitzer family for their great efforts and all the other partners involved, of course. One of the concerns I do have is that I notice a lot of these buildings are the historic properties close downtown, and possibly what I was thinking is that maybe we could look out a little bit more on the outskirts at some of the larger properties, maybe 200 to 500 unit capacity, maybe some previously built by like the Randall Realty Group, and maybe try to get some of these larger apartment complexes actually into the game here as far as providing more housing for the homeless. I heard a number up here of 1893 that they came up short on the housing units. Well, if you calculate that number, that's almost to what we currently have out on the sidewalks right now, around 2,000. So that number, when you look at it, is very interesting. And what I want to make sure is that the people outside throughout this city on the sidewalks, I know Mayor Hales is making an effort to do the right thing. Sidewalks weren't ever created to sleep on. They were never created to be housing. And he's in a difficult situation here that I think the community needs to come together and help him solve this problem, because it's not easy for him to have to move people across the street. And we need more housing. We need more participation. We need more people to understand sidewalks were never meant to sleep on. And if you walk by somebody sleeping on a sidewalk and you aren't upset about it, I really think there's something wrong, because people don't deserve to sleep on sidewalks. We need more housing. Mayor Hales understands that. He needs more assistance throughout the community, more developers, possibly even Cedars-Sinai, Jordan Snitzer stepping in and helping solve this problem. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'm glad we have public comment on this. My name is Crystal Ilinski. I represent 10,000 statistically random people that would love to be here. It's very hard for me to come here, and so I'm glad that I can testify today on this. The five-year mark is a special mark for me as well. That's how long I've been coming to City Hall to have my voice heard about the dire conditions of homelessness in this town. And as you know, I've been constantly pointing out what some of the problems were. And at this point, 5 years later, things do not seem much better. I'm sad I haven't been able to make it here in the last couple weeks, but every time I'm here, I just see the City Hall patting itself on the back. It's good to have these events that we can look back and see what worked, but I don't really see progress. And as Walter White was expressing, who's going to take responsibility? Should the private sector take it, or should the government? And I say that's who got us in this place in the first place, with this economic crisis and the people on the streets, the children on the streets. We have amazing people all around us that have lives, have families, have histories, and have futures. And for you to come to your job every day and have to climb over them to get into your building, maybe push them across the street a bit. The first time it happened, I know I told the mayor that I didn't know about it. It happened within a week that they pushed away the vigil for homelessness that had been there for a year and a half. And then next they pushed people out again within 2 days. And I'm not privy to this information. I come to City Hall and I can't even keep track of all the changes that are going on. Meanwhile, to these 11 units, I have personal experience with them. I've applied for a lot over the years. I've had some interesting experiences. I would have thought it was a given that we would keep these housing units in place and, in fact, increase them over the years, there should be, for every new building or every empty building, we should have a set number to fit the needs of the 2,000 plus on the streets, the thousands upon thousands waiting in line. I mean, when I finally got my name up after all these years for housing through Housing Authority, I was treated really horribly, and their lawyer person, who wouldn't tell me actually what kind of a lawyer she was or what she did, but she accused me of having had in my past an eviction. And I said, well, if you had done your research, you would have found that my landlord was the one that actually got me into homelessness. He made a settlement with me, and then I sued him with Bureau of Labor and Industries. This is a story that is one of the many, and I'm glad for your Nick Fish and Dan Saltzman for your exhibit downstairs. I want to see these faces, these underrepresented faces, more, but I want this kind of program to become the norm. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Crystal. Thank you very much. Anyone else to testify?
That's all who signed up.
If not, then a motion to accept the report.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
I just want to thank everybody here who's worked so hard for this moment. And unfortunately, we can't take it for granted that the resources we have be preserved. It's taken a lot of effort, and congratulate you on your achievement. Aye.
Fish.
About 5 years ago, we launched a new Portland Housing Bureau. And perhaps some people then wondered, what would that mean to our community? And I think this is yet another example of what bringing all of our programs and resources and talent and treasure under one roof meant for our city. I am so proud of what we together have accomplished. And I'm also grateful for Lightning and Crystal to remind us that as we come together and celebrate the wins, we also must commit to doubling down because the work's not complete. And my regret is that we use language like ending homelessness when we know that there will always be poverty and homelessness in our midst. But as long as there is someone in need, I hope there are people like you in our community ready to step up and make a difference, as you have done through this campaign. And to Will White, we don't have the words to thank you for your leadership on this endeavor. It's risky to say that there was one indispensable person, but I think we would all here agree that you were that indispensable person. And we are grateful to you, and we are honored to call you our colleague, and we wish you many, many years of success in Washington as our captain as we continue to tackle this problem. Thank you all for making this an extremely proud day for our city and for our city council. Aye.
Hales?
Well, I'm very pleased to be here for the grand finale of this important discussion and celebration of a milestone, and excellent work by all concerned, by our leaders on this city council. Thank you both, Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Saltzman, for leading our role in this constructive partnership. And that's really what we're about here. If you think about what characterizes our success as a community in housing and in other things, it's first of all a willingness to innovate, to try new things, to be bold. Look at our park system, where 112 years ago a bunch of citizens decided to hire the best landscape architect in the country to come do a parks plan for us that we're still carrying out. We've been bold. We've been innovative. We used a community development network that Will and Tasha Harmon helped start to organize our efforts. We try new things, and then we try them in partnership. That's the other thing that so clearly distinguishes the constructive politics of what we see at the local level here and elsewhere, but especially here, that spirit of partnership. We'll work with the private developers who've been mentioned here. We'll work with landlords and landowners. We'll work with trade organizations. We'll work with nonprofits, a whole lot of nonprofits, who have done and continue to do amazing things in trying to meet the housing needs of our community. And then the third ingredient, in addition to that innovation and spirit of partnership, is a persistence in good policy, because some of these things take time. This one was done remarkably quickly. but some of these things take a long and sustained effort. And Will, at the risk of embarrassing you a little more, I think you really personify all three of those values. You've been an innovator, you've been a great partner, and you've been working on this agenda for a long time with those of us who appreciate you so much. Just a personal and special note, he's also one of a long line of Virginians who came to Oregon and made a difference.
Wow.
Starting with that Meriwether Lewis character, and another guy who left a small contracting business in Virginia to move to Portland. So I can particularly appreciate that element of our friend, Will White. So thank you all for great work. Aye. And I believe, did you call Commissioner Novick's name? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you just voted aye.
Another round of applause.
Another round of applause for our troops. Thank you. Thank you all. Please keep up the good work, and we're adjourned.